Robert Hanna for defendant Bino Tanaka. Your Honor, I just want to point out, or Your Honors, I want to point out just a couple of things. Mainly the problem with the explanation of its sentence that the district court gave in sentencing Mr. Tanaka. And the problem that happened is that the court went ahead and used the substantial assistance downward departure, and that led to a guideline sentencing range of 18 to 20 months. And then the court references, when it goes to sentence Mr. Tanaka, it references a 30 months without downward departures, and there are a couple of ways to look at that. Number one, there's not an explanation of why you're using 30 months if you've done a calculation to get 18 months. And so you can see...
Yes, it is. What the judge's reference to 30 months is saying, but because of your substantial cooperation in aiding the United States government, you've benefited from a lighter sentence.
Yes, that's so. And the district court earlier in the hearing, and I think it's about page 42, said very expressly that I am granting a downward departure of four levels on that basis. And so the district court's reference to 30 months at the end of the hearing is the problem.
Is it your contention that the guideline sentence was improperly calculated?
It was not improperly calculated in the sense that the numbers were wrong. The problem is that a calculation was done, and then the district court went back to a midpoint and essentially was referencing two benchmarks and not one. And all of the case law from Carty onward requires that the court fix on one benchmark. And the benchmark that should have been used for the court is the one it actually decided to do, which is it granted the four-level downward departure, which it can do, and that's an 18 to 24 months. Yeah,
then it imposed a 15-month sentence.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So what you're saying is he should have said at the most 24 and then departed downward from that?
The discussion should have been, yes.
Why isn't the court allowed to praise the defendant for cooperating? I mean, I'm looking at the paragraph that I assume you're referencing on page 56, where the reference is made to 30 months. And the court couldn't be more explicit in saying that, making the reference to the 30 months in the context of the motion for substantial departure, which she granted.
Yes, but if you grant a motion for a four-level downward departure, that is an 18 to 24-month range. And so if those two things are inconsistent, Your Honor, because it says I'm granting a motion and that has a consequence, but then when I get over and I talk about on page 61, a major reduction of sentence from 30 months minimum to 15 months, that's on page 61, that's where the court...
Do we have anything in the record that tells us why he started from 30?
The reason is that 30 is the minimum without the four-level departure with which the district court granted.
Now, the 30 is, how do you get that minimum if the range is 18 to 24?
What happens is that there was originally a 22-level offense. There was a three level downward departure.
For acceptance of responsibility.
Yes. Yeah. And that is where, and the criminal history category is one, and so that's 30 months to 37 months. Then the district court granted the government's motion for a further four-level downward departure, and that gives a sentence, a guidelines range of 18 to 24 months.
All right, but the 15 months, would you say that that was unreasonable?
I would not say that there aren't any circumstances under which that could not be substantial.
But you were urging straight probation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's our contention that the procedural errors in
with some home detention.
That's our contention on a reasonable sentence.
That would not have been unreasonable either.
No.
As far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Okay. But there is this anomaly, and I didn't know that people in Guam had to file their tax returns in Guam, and that the territorial government there was responsible for making any of these credit payments, but they don't have the money, and so to file it in Honolulu, where there's more money and where a different, same laws apply, but the entity that would make these credit payments is a little more solvent and are more solvent. So then he's got 9 kids too, and he has a lot of support letters and one thing or another. So that would not have been unreasonable, but it's not the sentence that the judge imposed.
Yes.
And, so what can we do about that?
Well, what we can do about that is, number one, direct...
Complaining about the language of the 30 months, that it's really not clear what he was referring to, but some could argue that it is. So you want to send it back and have him say, oops, I shouldn't have said 30 months, I should have said this, and the same sentence stands, is that...
No, Your Honor,
we also
have argued, and I think the government does not do any analysis of what the trial court actually, the district court actually said, and that this guidelines had too much weight, too much, if you will, appropriate this morning, I guess, gravitational pull towards impeding the court from going lower and imposing what you've identified would be a reasonable sentence. It used words like exposure, and as was pointed out below, the pre-sentence report essentially assume that the guidelines were essentially mandatory or nearly so.
You know, our role, I think, is limited to determining whether the sentence was reasonable unless we can show that they miscalculated the guidelines to begin with. We might think that the sentence should have been probation, but can we say that the district court didn't exercise a sound discretion? I mean, that's pretty difficult for us to say.
Well, there's another point that Carty and the cases that follow Carty make, and that is that the guidelines cannot be presumed to be the reasonable sentence, which is...
No, but we have to start there.
The Court of Appeals doesn't, this circuit does not presume it's reasonable.
Yes.
In this case, the district court, I mean, the Supreme Court has said that the district court, the sentencing court, has to be mindful of the guidelines throughout.
Yes.
I'm puzzled as to what you expect the district court to do, in effect, disregard the guidelines when the Supreme Court's busy saying it's supposed to be mindful of them.
I'm not suggesting that you did that the district court disregard the guidelines at all. I think the district court should do what the case law demands, which is treated as one of a series of equal factors under Section 3553, one of several, and not treat it as quote-unquote sentencing exposure and this sort of presumptive pull.
Well, where's your client now?
He's in the federal detention center in Honolulu, Your Honor.
His sentence will be completed in August, is it, or something like that?
Actually, his sentence will be completed in August, about August 30th, 2011, because he's also subject to a term of supervised release for a year.
Well, wait, I'm just talking about time in jail.
He'll be out in August of this year.
He will have served his federal sentence in prison.
Why don't you just say yes? He'll be out in August. He'll be out of jail in August, right?
Your Honor, he is also subject to an immigration proceeding. That's why I hesitate.
Oh, I see.
Okay, thank you.
Well, that sort of means it doesn't matter what we say. In other words, we'd act on that, but we could say he's out tomorrow, but in fact he wouldn't be out tomorrow. Is that what you're telling us?
No, not at all, because he would have some relief. Number one, he would have some relief pending the immigration proceedings. And number two, at some point his conditions of supervised release would kick in.
Thank you.
Well, where were his children born? Got nine kids.
I believe at least the majority of them were born on Guam.
All right, thank you.
May it please the court, good morning. Mara Vigdavid for the United States. Starting with the guideline calculation range, the parties in the district court below have no dispute as to the calculation of the guideline range. The pre-sentence report reflected a base offense level of 20 on account of the amount of tax loss involved in this case. The facts of this case are such that the defendant, who is a resident of Guam, electronically filed over 200 federal income tax returns on behalf of Guam resident taxpayers. Under the tax laws of Guam, people who are residents of Guam file with the government of Guam tax authorities. On account of the defendant's crime, the U.S. Treasury...
So all that money goes, in other words, all the income tax that Guamanians pay goes into the territorial treasury.
That is correct, Your Honor.
And they get to keep it.
That is correct, Your Honor.
But then under the people that earn a certain level, they get a kind of a tax credit, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. That would be the earned income tax credit.
Earned income tax credit. Okay.
There's a very sad history, is there not, of the government of Guam, a delay in payment on these things so people wait for years to get paid?
That is correct, Your Honor. I mean, I'm still waiting for my, 2006 tax refund. I mean, certainly that was the motive of the defendants,
yes.
and and the taxpayers who he electronically filed on their behalf. On account of the defendant's crime, over $750,000 was lost from the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah, but when the Guamanian government pays off, that money will go to the U.S. Treasury.
It goes to, assuming there are tax returns available to the Guam residents who file in Guam, it goes to the Guam residents, Your Honor.
What?
The income tax refunds, assuming there are income tax refunds that are due to the Guam resident taxpayers.
It's not a refund, it's a credit.
That is as the earned income credit, yes, Your Honor.
Earned income credit, that's what we're talking about.
Right, which is only eligible for certain individuals in certain income.
Yeah, but these people were.
They were, however, they weren't eligible to file taxes.
I know, but had the territory had the money, and had been fiscally responsible, then these people would have gotten their earned income tax credit.
They would have, as well
they
as...
They would have. So all I'm saying is that when Guam becomes fiscally responsible, and that shouldn't be too long because the United States military is going to spend billions and billions and billions of dollars over there in the very, you know, it's probably starting right now to build an entire infrastructure and bases and everything there because we're moving out of Okinawa. Then the Guamanian government will start getting more income tax, right?
Well, so that isn't what you're
the money will be there. Now is a good time to buy real estate.
The Guamanian government thinks it's going to be forced to spend even more, so I'm not sure that fiscal solvency is in the offing.
Time will tell. We won't know probably until a couple more years from now.
I'm just try to work out a deal so you get your past due payments.
Well, that would be great, Your Honor.
In a way, the government of Guam is a little bit complicit in all of this.
Well, in the sense that it's taking a while before Guam residents, taxpayers can obtain their income tax refunds.
When is the last time they paid out?
I can say from my experience, 2006, but I can't just go online and file my income taxes federally and obtain a refund through the U.S. Treasury.
I'm not asking you to do that.
It's somewhat appealing, but I dare not.
Yeah.
It's not the usual fraud case, So let's get to the sentence. Is this a reasonable sentence?
Yes, Your Honor. The record reflects, and the district court considered, the factors in 3553A, taking into account the history of the defendant. I mean, the district court read, and it's available in the sentencing transcript, the pre-sentence report, outlining the defendant's employment history, family background, educational background, work experience. The district court considered the community support letters that were provided on the for the defendant's behalf. Yet, the district court also had to consider the nature of the offense, the amount of loss involved, and the record supports that the district court was well within its discretion in imposing a 15-month sentence.
Now, was his calculation of the guideline sentence accurate?
Absolutely, Your Honor. According to the pre-sentence report, the base offense level started at level 20 on account of the tax loss. It increased two levels under the specific offense characteristics because the defendant received anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 as part of his filing fees. a minus 3 for acceptance of responsibility was credited to the defendant because he pled to an information and cooperated with the government. Further, he received a 4-level downward departure, which the case agents had recommended and the government supported and the district court approved. So the total offense level was 19, reduced to 15 on account of the 4-level downward departure that the government moved. And frankly, the district court, by imposing a 15-month sentence, varied its sentence even one more level, because the level 14 accounts for a 15-month range in the low end. Unless the court has any more questions, I submit. Thank you, Your Honor.
I would just add one note, and I think the concerns that you've all expressed about the crime demonstrates one of the issues and one of the reasons that you cannot give the sentencing guidelines too much weight is that the sentencing guidelines deal with money, and there's no accounting for what you've described as not your usual fraud case. This is, I think, outside the normal line.
Well, the fact, I'm not sure it's that far outside. I mean, most people that commit fraud have a reason for wanting or needing the money.
I understand that.
And the federal government is out the money here. They decided, or somebody decided, and your client appears to be the person in the middle of it, decided, well, we're going to rob Peter to pay Paul. Because Guam won't pay us, we're going to take it from the United States.
As a result,
the United States Treasury suffered a loss.
That's right. I have to acknowledge that the United States Treasury paid out refunds that it should not have.
It paid out refunds when it never got a penny from the people who collected the refunds.
That is... So, yes.
And that's what the district court referenced in explaining why she thought this was a serious crime.
There's no accounting in the guidelines for the discussion that's going on right here.
And she sentenced outside the guideline range.
That's right, but the guidelines had, in the district court, too much of the gravitational pull rather than being equally weighted.
Does the United States Treasury subsidize the government of Guam?
You know, I don't know the full answer to that question, Your Honor, but I would expect would have been a question that could have been developed in the district court. It is a territorial government.
Well, does this same approach apply to Puerto Rico?
Yes.
Does it?
It does. I dealt with Puerto Rico before.
Okay, well, I didn't know all this, so... Until I got on this case.
That's what's good about this job. You always learn something new.
I always learn something new. Every day. All right.
Thank you.
Submit.
Half a day. I submitted. U.S. versus Cuba.